to do a whole building residential or commercial, you could do it.
The mayor's garage, where they're taking it 17, there's straight commercial.
Yeah.
Where do you see that, though?
1.2%.
There's no use for a big high rise. Yeah.
As long as
I mean, because it's going to be the mixed use, so. Mm-hmm. I was just trying to differentiate the commercial, that you've got to go to a little for the commercial.
Yeah.
But residential is permitted.
Perfect. Okay. That makes sense.
It is 6 o'clock on Wednesday, August 13th, and this is a regularly scheduled Planning Commission meeting. In attendance are Sherm Howard, Alan Bice, Matt Julison, and Kyson, and John Willoughby. Thank you. We would encourage our visitor to sign in if you have. Thank you. Could I have a volunteer for an invocation and to lead us in the pledge?
I'll do it.
Thank you.
Well, I'm already standing. I'm not going to help you. I'll make that city. I'm not going to talk about me.
Sometimes he is.
I know you.
Depends on you. Knew me back in my better days when I was more quiet and reserved. Our Father in Heaven, we're grateful for this day. We're grateful to be able to meet here as citizens of Laverne and planning commissioners and staff to go over ordinances and items that will affect the city. We wish that bless us with Holy Spirit to lead us and to make the best decisions possible to be able to understand the current needs and for businesses and things that will work both for both business and for the city. We do these things in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item number B, approval of the agenda. We entertain a motion to approve tonight's agenda with a change. Item number one will scratch, so item number two will be one, and item number three will become two.
I move that we approve the agenda for today with the change to item number one is scratched, number two will be one, and three will be two.
I'll second that.
Motion by Sherm, second by Kyson. All in favor?
Aye.
Item number C, approval of the minutes of the July 9th, 2025 regular meeting.
I move that we approve the minutes of the July 9th, 2025 regular meeting.
I'll second that.
Motion by Matt, second by John. All in favor?
Aye.
Item number D, reports. What a timely arrival.
Sorry, I was late. Actually, there is no report for City Council. We did not have a meeting since. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Director of Operations.
Oh, I can talk. Would you like a little bit of good information?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. So the county approved an interlocal agreement for the Zion Corridor Trail for Phase One that. Is in Cottonwood Hollow. It actually goes between Zion View Estates, Cottonwood Hollow, Phase 1 does. And the county approved interlocal agreement for a little over $500,000 last week, and we'll have it on our agenda, City Council agenda, for next week. And we've already approved it, everything but the contract itself. So Interstate Rock will start construction in September. So it's looking very, very good, and the county's working hard on the section from Cottonwood. would follow along SR 17 under SR 17 to Confluence Park, and then Interstate Rock is also working with the city and the Water Conservancy District from kind of the middle area of Cottonwood Hollow going east, running along north to where the BLM land is. So.
Did I hear somewhere that that was going to go under SR 9?
Yes, it will.
Just a walking tunnel underneath?
Walking, biking. Uh-huh. Yeah. So,
thank you.
But sorry.
And that map that's in front of you is the first phase of the park. If your monitors are working,
yeah,
that's the first phase that we'll be working on.
Thank you. Director of Operations?
Just one thing. I just thought that now that we're getting to be about 60% on the plans, if you look at the map, you can see over there in Cottonwood Hollow, that spot, you probably can't see with my little thing there, but that's the pond area. So it'll be between second phase, the design view stage, and phase five, which is the upper portion above the school. So it's up in the north, kind of middle section. So there's a reuse pond that go there. And then if you follow that, you go down 740 north. Can't think what that is right there. Well, 740 north. Then it goes down SR 17, and it will connect in 900 north. So the district right now is planning on running a pipe from the reuse plant down 900 north, following this path, and it will go to the pond. So the pond, that section of the pipe, and then if you look at, there are two lines there on Main Street coming off of 740, go down to 500 north. There are two separate lines that are going to be ran as part of that first project, because right now, technically, the district's line and our line are separate until they go under SR9, and then they join, and we share a line. And so, if the district were to run water in the wintertime or need water, then we have no way of shutting, like, Zion View and Cottonwood Hall and everything off, because it's one and our valves come off that main line. This line will allow the Conservancy District to run water. For right now, there will be a mixture of reuse water and Virgin River water. So that pipe will bring water from the Virgin River to offset the water needs of the reuse until the reuse fans open up and we can take a full advantage of that. So I thought that you might want to see that because we kind of talked about it a little bit. And then the next one here is basically what is entailed in bringing all of the irrigation water out of everybody's backyard into the street and giving everybody a front connection. It shows four phases, but we're going to do it all as one phase because we're hoping to hoping that we can get the same, potentially the same contractor that's doing the run for the reuse water. That whether I would mobilize that they could possibly do this is the hope, and we hope that this will be under construction. I think they were hoping by May. People still have water, but we're going to have a pretty torn up town for a while. But it's needed where everything's in everybody's backyards, the possibility of flooding and having liability is huge. Plus, it also makes every connection that we will put into the front yard will have a yoke and an eyer, so that when the state, if they ever finally make us meter it, we're ready to go. And so this is a $13 to $16 million project that I was talking to you earlier about, that the district is funding for us, and our payback is the use of our Virgin River water. I think the contract to go for right now, they haven't got it all worked out, but we're for sure that we could possibly give them, not kind of like that, it's not right, possibly allow
1,000 acre feet of water every year to go down the Virgin River so they can put it in Snap Hollow and Quail Lake. And if you times that over, I think it was a 40-year time period, that would basically, the water would pay for this project. So there's no money transitioning from one to the other, no interest. And the hope is that when we fully get operational with the reuse water and Chief Toker is functioning, we will be able to allow all 260-something acre feet of water to go down to them, and we'll completely be using reuse water and Chief Toker water, which is going to give you cleaner water. It will still be dirty. It will still have a lot of particles and things in it, but you won't get the Orgerville mud and things that you have now. And this will help potentially open this up to run year-round because the system will be installed correctly and things like that. So there are a lot of positives, especially with water that becoming such an issue. The more we can rely on the reuse water, make it more of a steady source where we're not having to worry about the monsoon season, not have to worry about a lot of breaks and everything. It's going to be more available to people that don't have the availability now, that we can offset a lot of additional water, culinary water use that will go forward. So I just thought you might want to kind of see that as we're going forward with it. And I think because you guys won't be involved in the overall planning, but I want to keep you updated so you can kind of see what's going on. So.
Thank you.
Yep.
I got to go on a tour of that sewer treatment plant because the general manager has a dog. And if there's a way we might, if the planning commission wanted to tour it, I'm blown away by the technology in that thing. Not excited to start drinking it, but still blown away by the technology.
Well, you realize that when that gets to the point, because it will be a type one for human contact, be for our lungs and things like that. But the good thing about us is that we are springs. We're not part of the conservancy district's backflow of water, so mostly this is going to pertain to the outer parts of Hurricane St. George or Washington, and those guys are going to get the treated water from their reuse plant going that direction. I live in the old part of Hurricane, I get the same thing from the springs, so that's one positive you can look at.
Item number E, business. Discussion and possible action to set a public hearing for a live work zone. So this handout that came with us, came to us, as I understand it, has changes that may not be on what was in the packet.
The one that you have in here. That you send it out to?
Yeah.
It's probably the same.
Okay.
It's pretty much the same. Just this afternoon I gave Derek, I reviewed some stuff. And I made a few changes just a very few slight changes that are outlined here in your summary there that Derek gave to you. But basically the changes I made were mainly cosmetic kind of changes. And I put it in the ordinance form.
Okay. Thank you.
So,
what I was going to do tonight is just review what we talked about last time to make sure that what you wanted was changed.
Please.
You want me to do that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. First of all, I apologize. I've been up in Zion doing some work for the company. I didn't have time to come down and change. So you get to see me in my safety gear.
You're dressed for a public hearing.
So, anyways, there were 8 changes that we talked about at the last meeting. The first one was, if you go down to section 1.1, where it talks about live-work unit requirements, that was changed to have 140 per 1,000 square feet of floor area. Subject to the administrative land use authority, which is another change that we made, as you
remember, the authority has been in place for the planning commission. The planning commission would rather have it in Lewis, so we went and changed all that around. There was a question about signage, and I changed that to say that it is allowed on the front of each unit, indicating the name of the business and the operation. And that the livable unit must also be a business owner, occupied, manager, employee, occupied at all times. And going down to the further section 1.2, that was all having to do with the planning commission have authority. That was all changed about the Alua have that authority. Continuing on, it goes down to the development standards. And if you go to the development standards, section E was that a minimum change to say that a minimum of 50% of the total floor area of the entire unit shall be dedicated to business use, and the ground floor unit shall be solely dedicated to the business use. That was another issue the planning commission had. Section F, basically what we did with this is just refer back to the Coburger Municipal Code in regard to block wall or block wall height. Down the trash enclosure, there was an issue about the size. And after talking to Derek, we just decided to go ahead and say that that needs to be determined by the city based on, you know, the size of the development or whatever. And then finally, the balconies, which is section R, basically just says that the height be prescribed by the International Building Code. If such balconies are facing exterior property lines of the overall development, wrought iron open fencing is permitted on balconies. They face the interior of the project. So a wall for the exterior, flat iron for the interior of the project. And I believe that was all the different issues you guys would have changed.
It says that that anything prohibited that we left out, we can add if we need to. I wonder if we ought to prohibit salons, beauty salons, hair salons, and groomers, or if we don't need to do that.
The only question I would have of that, and in certain circumstances I would agree, they're huge ones, but there's a lot of people that just work out of their house for those type of things. And my thought was with that too, is as long as the Alua has the ability to look at this, which we will be able to, we can determine if it's too large. And maybe put some conditions on that to make sure that there isn't a whole lot of
The other thing that occurred to me is this ordinance requires a condominiumization. They have to be condominiumized, individual owners, so that they can have a HOA. Are we okay with doing that for not just this property, but any future properties that...
Yeah, this pertains to any property that comes in and wants to do the exact same thing.
We haven't allowed for that. They request it's already in our code.
An allowance for
that? Condominiumized.
But this would require it of them, as I understand it.
Yes.
HOA.
And they are condominiumized right now, so, but yeah.
Okay, so we want to do that. We want to do that for all potential future ones?
I think it probably makes sense. Just, I think if we don't, it's going to turn into, they're going to eventually come back and want it so they can sell off units and not rent everything out. So it makes sense to me.
Okay. Those were the only things I noticed that I had questions about.
I just had one question. just didn't know if we needed to bill it out or if it was fine. But there are requirements, 10-6-G-4-8. You got the unit, especially the business portion of the unit, shall meet fire, health, and safety requirements as determined by the city. I guess that would, they'd have to go by the city code, but does that mean the city could have more teeth into what they have to do? Or, because I know we're kind of, we got residential and commercial in the same building, which can maybe provide a few challenges.
Oh, it's going to provide a big challenge.
So maybe that's why we have it that way, instead of just...
Well, the code, as far as fire, as the fire code is concerned, when you have commercial to a commercial, depending on the occupancy that you give them, like say most of the boilers' occupancies are going to probably be a B occupancy. So
a B to a B may not require fire separation at all. It might just be regular sheetrock and there's no fire separation. But when you take a commercial and you combine it with residential, that's huge because now the residential is going to require, automatically require sprinklers. And that's for the residential part. The commercial part can still probably get away with the forest assembly of, you know, 5/8 type X sheetrock and gypsum board and stuff like that to get that rating. But that's kind of on a base by base situation because if the occupancy, you go from a B to an A occupancy, which is an assembly, you could get in there where the shared walls would need to have a 3-hour fire separation. So those kinds of things are reviewed by us and by the fire department, and then also the plans have to be stamped and approved by an engineer that will quote the code. And then we have a code compliance company that we use to make sure that everything that is shown is compliant with the code, and then we get it and we'll go through and do our own review. So it's a very time. There was a word for that.
I got you.
Intensive, and that's probably going to be the most intensive part of these units is that fire separation. Is that kind of what you were talking about?
That's what I figured. I just didn't know if that. I mean, that's pretty simple. I didn't know if it needed to kind of be built out to meet code or something to.
Yes, so all of them have to meet.
Well, I know they will, but I just didn't know if that was a good enough explanation. If we need to build it out in our code a little bit more, and have, I don't know. That's all I was wondering because I knew there's a lot more to it, but.
Because our code, existing code now just states that anything that's being built has to comply with the most recent version of the code, which all the codes, you know, the IRC, you can have plumbing, commercial, mechanical, electrical, and fire, and the same for the commercial, and all those. So they're already going to be required to go through this review process.
Okay.
So they really can't escape it, and nor do we ever want to be the ones to make the call anymore. We used to when we were smaller. They go in and figure it out. Too much liability. They provide it to us. We have a code compliant company confirm it.
Okay.
I was curious if the city's going to have any review of the HOA agreement or that whole process. I didn't see anything in here about it, and or if it's just exclusively between the entities themselves and the the owners.
There'll be no doubt staff will be looking at it, and ultimately they will be taking a look at it too.
Because part of the HOA is the first part of the approval process for the business attempting to come in, right?
Correct. Yeah, so we can't sell a unit unless they have an approved business license, which offsets or there's another checks and balance, or you know what's going in there, the city knows what's going in there, we know what's going in there. So whether they're commercial or they're residential and they have a business application, which all of those units, in my particular case and in future developments, have to have a business license and they have to be operating some sort of business out of those facilities to help support the city.
Okay, Faye, do we need to potentially just refer? I mean, we don't do any enforcement as far as the HOA, the CCNRs. Typically, do we need to maybe make a note that the first stop, and I think it does actually, it refers to the HOA and the CCNRs as the first step moving forward.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't be bad that I bring it to you guys and you guys can, you know, see what's there because we have the final draft copy of the report as part of the condominium.
It ain't easy.
The splitting of the car.
Because I didn't know if the Lulu was going to look at that as a, you know, some kind of part of the function of the vehicle.
I think we'll have a copy there with us to just make sure that they're following the tenant. That it comes down to the fact that we normally don't enforce it. Mm-hmm. But where this is kind of intermingled with it, I think we're going to have to put a lot more review time into it to make sure that they're following what they're supposed to and going forward with that. So, yeah.
And is that stated more like is that through the development agreement process is where they're being reviewed the CCNRs?
I don't know if it's part of the development agreement process, but it's part of the overall approval process. That's one thing that we would require is that the homeowners association adopts some sort of carefully look at those to make sure that they included the things that you felt needed to be included in there. I was very curious that we wouldn't necessarily be the ones to enforce that, except that we will have an addictive development agreement with each of these developments. And in that development agreement, we would probably put some language in there that would somehow either require the developer to do that or allow the city to some something in the development agreement that would protect the city.
If you actually look at the comp under business, the copy that's color coded has got the yellow in it. It's 10-6G-4-4. So any purported business use must first be submitted to the Developer Property Owners Association for review and approval. If approved, the proposed business use together with written approval of the Development Property Owners Association shall be reported to the ALUA for consideration and approval. So that's the one step that they're going to have to take, but we'll probably also have that with us just to make sure it's following the city. So.
Okay, so I do have one other question. I was the one that brought up the balcony suggestion originally. And I was reading through this, and I think it's a great way to put it. I guess my question, and this might be for the group too, is the way I look at exterior property lines, it would include the roadway. I feel like my comment or my purpose of trying to have the more blocked views on the exterior property lines was for neighboring properties. Do we need to put in there some language so that if they want to have the open rail balcony against the roadway, it's a possibility, or is that something we want to keep more? In my mind, the way this reads is they can't have the open rail across the roadway because it's an exterior property line.
Yeah, the intent of that was because people have a tendency to pile stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And adjacent to a roadway is just as bad as adjacent to some other property, from my perspective.
Okay.
It comes down to what you guys want to do. So.
Well, I can bring up another issue because I know right now, we haven't talked to Blair about this, but he's got that one center one that is open rail.
That's what I originally had.
Yeah. And
they put my rail in. They were instructed not to put a rail on the roadway. The rail guy did, so that is being rectified. So you'll see it and go, Blair, we talked about it. Be aware they installed it before they should. So you'll see that rectified the next week.
So that's a good point, and that, I think that's the way it needs to be.
Okay. No, I'm fine with that. I just noticed that was definitely not my original intent. The intent was more to protect the neighboring properties, but I see a benefit of keeping it as well against the roadway. So.
Further comment?
Hey, Paige, you want to talk about your... So the copy that I handed you out, that is different from Brad's. We formatted over into our ordinance form, and that's the one that's got the green markings and the yellow markings. And I don't know if Kay wanted to talk about his prettying up the ordinance that's highlighted in green.
Yeah, we have to do that. If you look at 10-6-G-4-8 requirements, number 8 there in green. We want just to make sure that these units would not be occupied solely for residential purposes. That they always had to be associated with an operational business. And so paragraph 8 was added. It says any live work unit occupied for residential purposes shall also be occupied by an operating business for which a business license has been obtained. No live work unit shall be solely for residential purposes. So that kind of plugs that hole up, I think. And then over the next page on paragraph 9, that's just in green, when it talks about the development agreement, it says that the development agreement shall contain a clause which specifically states that the purpose of the liberal development is to provide for residential small business uses that meet the requirements of the code, and that any unit within the liberal zone shall be occupied in conjunction with the business and not solely for residential purposes. So there will be two places. We have these provisions in the ordinance, and then when we do the development agreement, we will specify more clearly that individual units have to be occupied in conjunction with the operation of the business, not just for residential purposes.
Thank you. That was the intent.
Yeah.
Further, Brad.
Just one last thing. I just want to thank the planning commission for going through this process. I know this is something new and different, especially for the open, but it required all of us to kind of work through all these issues to get to this point. And I do appreciate all the input that you had, and with the Bay there too. So, going through this process, once we get this adopted, if it gets adopted, there may be something that needs to be changed. If we just change it, in fact, something comes along that we didn't anticipate. But I think generally you've got a pretty solid document.
Thank you.
I second that. Sure.
If there's no further comment or discussion, I would entertain an action to set a public hearing for this zone.
I'll go ahead and recommend that we set a public hearing for the Liberal Zone.
I'll second that.
Do we need to set a recommend for a specific date?
We probably do it, need a date. August 27th?
I could be wrong. I'm always wrong with the date. My gap. I'm going home.
There was a motion by Sherm. Who made the motion?
I made the motion.
Motion by Kyson, second by Sherm, to set a date for August 27th for a public hearing for the zone. All in favor?
Aye.
Item number 2, discussion on creating a mixed-use zone. Use will let people not associated with the business live in that.
Yeah, that's something that gets kind of confusing because it says live work in a lot of places.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that is just an oversight or if that.
There was one I put together.
Oh, we got the old one that had that?
I think that's an old version, yeah. Because
your old version did have a lot of live work. It made it confusing.
All that's in here.
Well, that's just the live work.
It's the same title, but this is the...
Yeah, but as you read through, it's live work.
Yeah.
So
when we had our meeting a couple of months ago, we decided to change everything. I separated it all and made just the live work and then the mixed use. So all the verbiage associated with live work was taken out of the mixed use.
Not mine.
Yeah, it didn't end up on our packet that way.
It didn't end up on our packet.
Yeah, that's my fault. I should have left when I said it. But I definitely don't get by myself. But that really is the only difference.
It really is. It's the fact that one requires that the occupant to live there or house them to live there. This other one's going to allow anybody to rent it above a commercial or retail zone or whatever it is. So the main floor is always going to be that commercial aspect. Everything above it can be rented out to anybody.
Would we have, some of my questions I didn't see when I read through, allow commercial or office buildings, offices in the second level?
Well, the intent.
And if we did, what would we need? Like a lobby area?
You could. It was kind of put together so that commercial would be just like on the bottom floor.
That's kind of how we put it together.
That's the way it was envisioned originally. But having said that, you know, if you want to do like a second story office or something and then residential above that, it's really kind of however you want to do it.
Does St. George have that percentage you're talking about to have 100% on the bottom? And like 50-50 on the second, and then a small percentage on the third story of businesses. But, you know, the reason we're really kind of going down this road is the hotel, I can't remember the hotel name now, but it's going across from Farmers to the north, a farmer right there, felt that the retail and especially the residential part would help them recoup the money through a lot faster or... You know, for what they're putting out for the at least the first hotel going there, so that's the reason we kind of also separated it out.
One of the questions I had early on was we have some pretty large parcels that are along that the main strip, and when we put like 15 units per acre or something like that, you know, some of the larger parcels could support a whole lot of units, and I was curious if we couldn't reduce that a little bit in those areas or some way other. Otherwise limited. Because if we get, you know, 60, 80, 100 units on a parcel, that's, I don't know that's going to fit with them.
Well, what about if we went in there and just said, and we could amend it into this section, and say anything 5-acre parcels under could have this density, anything from whatever the largest parcels that we still have available down would have to meet a significantly smaller footprint, so that we're not getting such a large clustering of buildings, you know, because then that would work for a lot of the smaller parcels, the one that we're going to get, but the larger ones, if we're trying to get away from clustering and being so close together, we could just say, you know, if you're above 10 acres to just 5 acres, the density allowance or the open space allowance can be different.
Yeah, I think my only concern is that we don't get them too dense. Especially
right.
Down
right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, instead of being 75%, you can say 50%, you know, on a 10-acre parcel. Or we could find a number in there.
I think the way it was set up was a maximum of 14 units per acre.
That's how it reads.
Yes. Which, you know, that may sound a lot, and we can reduce that however you want to. And I think it was four stories, too.
It is that also.
Yeah. Normally, it's going to depend on the size of the unit. If there's a whole bunch of studio units, you can probably get 14 units for the acre. But you have one bedroom, two bedrooms.
Yeah, because I think some of those parcels are maybe a slight bit over 5 acres.
Yeah.
So
kind of I was looking at that to try to restrict the number of units more than the size of the property. But we can do whatever we get.
I feel like that kind of includes the doing it that way per acre. So
the number of units per acre.
Yeah.
The density that's there.
Yeah.
I think the other thing to remember is that every unit has at least 200 square feet of open space required, plus parking. But I don't think you can. The density is going to be pretty hard to get because you have parking requirements that are still there and your open space requirements. So you're going to be pretty limited on how you can really set up your buildings to make it tight.
And 250 feet of storage.
Yeah,
you have your loading areas too.
What they can do, I think.
You have your loading areas too.
Yeah, loading areas make it tricky. Yeah.
I mean, I'd be glad to talk about this at a future meeting if you really want to get into more detail. I apologize, I wasn't prepared for this until I was going on.
That was another failure on one.
So this one is approved use and doesn't have salons and groomers, has the provision that if it's something similar to what's listed, the ALUA can authorize that. Maybe we ought to include salons, beauty salons, nail salons, and
a barbershop.
All right. I've never gotten my nails done at the barbershop.
Beauty and nail salon.
Oh, is it? Oh, yeah. It's there. Never mind.
Yeah, because I checked the commercial uses you have right now, and I just put it in here. So if there's something you don't like in your commercial use, we should take that out.
Okay.
Because I assume it's really very similar. You're just going to have units on top of it. But.
And section 1.3, development requirements and standards, F, block wall requires a 6-foot decorative block wall. I'm pretty sure if it is between commercial and residential, it's supposed to be 8-foot in our code.
What we'll do with that is change it like we did the live work.
Okay.
Just bring it back to the code.
Does the code require a decorative block wall? Could they have rock or other wall?
It just says
impervious. It says what? Block wall?
Basically block wall.
Okay.
But you did adopt commercial design guidelines.
I remember, and those included, those didn't limit it to block wall. It allowed them to have decorative rock,
right,
as I recall.
Yeah. It was more flexibility. Yeah.
Okay.
And that would apply to this type of development.
So tonight was just to discuss this. I'm really happy with it. Further discussion?
I'll get you the right one next time. and then we can work that in the next one if it's good. We'll get it formatted.
I have angry question marks written about the live work section in it.
Yeah. See, I'm going to go home now.
Took all the way down myself.
So,
well, after reading through it, with my knowledge of everything, I'm not thinking of anything else. So I'm okay so far, you know, with what we've got. I don't know what to think of else. So it did cover that pretty good, other than stated that word. I was kind of wondering.
So perhaps with the new and improved one, we can present that on a night that we set it up for a public hearing like we did tonight with the live work.
Yeah. I could actually present it, have it ready to go for your next meeting, so you can set it after this next public hearing and roll with it.
Okay.
So my apologies for...
That's right.
It was good to review again. Make sure we're not missing something.
Do you all feel comfortable with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
If there is no further comment, that would take us to item number F.
Item number we adjourn.
I'll second it.
Okay. The city council just declares themselves adjourned when that happens. We're going to start doing that.